Yes, I believe this is the news. Except the Biden the Biden-Cheney administration. This is the news, according to me. Yes, good morning. It is, what time is it? I don't know. It's probably almost 10 o'clock now, Eastern Standard Time. On Friday, at the end of the week here, we are getting ready for Shabbat Shalom. As we enter into the, and of course, my dogs start barking right now. They must know it's time for the show. And again, I don't have the door shut on my booth here. So you're going to hear the dogs in the background. Possibly the cat may play, may even come down and make a visit and climb all over the place. You get to see the, see, today I am not only live recording this live, so that those of you who listen on audio on Podbean or Castos or wherever you listen to me, or Apple Podcasts, whatever you listen to me on, you will not only be able to listen to me live today, you'll be able to see me live in the booth recording. With my cup, which is important because this is my only sponsor. My cup. As you can see, my cup right here. That's the word hesed in Hebrew right there. That's what that is. The word hesed. It's the name of my sailboat. That would be my sailboat right there. It's the name of my boat. And in my cup, what's more important is what's in my cup. And what's in my cup is chai. It is a creamy chai latte with a little bit of creamer in it. I think it's Almond Joy. It's not very hot anymore. It's kind of cooled off because of all the time I had to spend getting this thing ready. I think I figured out part of the issue with my live stream thing on Rumble. Firefox basically sucks. I think that's what the problem is. Firefox does not do a very good job of making this happen. I was trying this morning to get Firefox to even light up the Rumble app with the, even just to go to the live stream page. And I got it. It wouldn't do it. So I pulled up Safari, which I hardly ever use. And boom, I probably would work really well with Google Chrome. Google Chrome has a tendency to work really well. And I have it's part of my conspiratorial nature to believe that Google, since they kind of run the internet, they probably make it so that everything else runs bad so that their app can run better than everybody else's. So that's what I'm guessing. That's why I stay away from it, because they want everybody to use Google Chrome. There are some apps that will not even work unless you have Google Chrome. There's some applications that I have to use Google Chrome to actually work. One of the things I do here in the sound booth is I do voiceover work. I do, you know, I record things for people. I read scripts, believe it or not. They want to hear my voice on their, for their product or for their announcement to their company or whatever it is I do for them. Sometimes I do stuff for children. I did a children's hospital thing here recently. And I actually got to talk about kids and what they need to be happy. So they hired me to do that a couple times now, actually, more than once, without the dog in the background. Here at my home studio, this happens quite often. This is why I usually go to the world headquarters studio, which is 5 miles away from here. Even when I take my dogs, they're nice and quiet at the office. They don't ever bark there like they do here. For some reason, they're barking their head off here. I don't know what that's all about. So I recently was listening to the radio. It might have been the radio. I think it was a radio, actually, radio station. It might have been the Dan Bongino show. I don't know what it was. I hardly ever listen to the radio anymore. I usually listen to stuff on my phone. Even if I listen to a radio broadcast, it's usually typically on my phone, and it's not always live. Sometimes it is. But I usually listen to stuff after the fact, and I usually listen to it in like 1.25 or 1.5 times the speed, which is why I talk fast on the show, I think, because I try to My whole life is lived now. And when I realize I have fewer and fewer days left in my life because I'm getting older. You know, teach me to number my days. I'm numbering them, and they're not very many. There's fewer than there were when I started. And you start becoming cognizant of that. You start becoming, for those of you who don't know what that means, Joe Biden, that means you become aware of something in the future. Unlike Joe Biden, who's not aware of the present, let alone the future. He thinks the present is something it's an ice cream cone in a box with wrapping around it. It's chocolate chip. That's my present. So if the, right now, the the awareness of my days, the finality of my life, becomes more and more realistic every day. And it's already pretty realistic. I think about it from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed at night. Just saying. You get older, you start thinking about, okay, maybe another 15, 20 years, maybe, of actual productiveness, maybe. 10 years, maybe, of really being productive. Kind of makes you want to go out and enjoy life a little bit before, you know, the decline starts to really kick in. But, you know, and by that, I mean, I want to go out and, you know, drive the motorhome around. Look at stuff. Explore. Take the dogs. And the wife, of course, if she's not busy working. Yeah. So I hear this thing. And it's apparently someone was asking Camilla about a possible ticket with Joe Biden and, wait for it, Liz Cheney. Now, I have talked many, many times about political theater on this show. And the way this kind of stuff works. You have to realize this. This goes back to the root of this whole issue is that the Democrat Party right now is in a free fall panic. There are the extreme leftists who just think that they just need to push their agenda through and that people will accept it, by golly, if we shove it down their throats. We just need to make it happen. We have control now. We just need to make it happen. It'll be for the good of the nation, by, you know, because by golly, the end justifies the means, and they'll figure it out once they get all this free stuff. Then we'll be in power forever because we were the heroes. That's kind of what's in their head. People just don't know what's best for them. All these people with their stupid idea of rugged individualism. If you don't think I'm being serious there, Barack Obama literally said that. He made fun of the idea of rugged individualism, which is absolutely what the foundation of this nation was based on from our founders. They mock that. The only reason they study, by the way, Barack Obama was never a constitutional scholar. He was a fill-in adjunct professor who never really was, he never had a teaching job, so to speak. He filled in. And he spoke of things in the Constitution. The only reason they study the Constitution is to find loopholes. They don't study it because they love it or because they want to find out how to better form a more perfect union or how to implement the Constitution more properly. They take an oath to defend and uphold the Constitution, and yet they have no intention whatsoever of doing that. The only reason that they want to uphold and defend it is to uphold and defend their idea of what it should be or what they don't like about it. When you say that the Constitution is a document of negative liberties, which is a term you'll never find in any of the founding documents, by the way, or even any of the letters, the Federalist Papers, anywhere. Never find any of that. when you get this idea in your head that the Constitution says this is what government can't do for it, can't do, it's all a limiting document, what the government can't do. What we need is more positive liberties, what the government needs to do for you. Well, you see, the problem is that government is for, of, and by the people. So when you start saying, this is where we get into this whole mess of the government, people who are in charge right now, the representatives that we've elected to go and represent ourselves as individuals, to represent our rights, to protect our individual rights. They get into Washington, they get up there on the hill, the temple of democracy, and they think of themselves as so important that they have to start creating rights for us. And this puts them in a very awkward position, because now all of a sudden they're in charge of our rights. Or they think they are. And they think they need to start providing us with things. And this is where we go down the slippery slope. And people start to like it. They start to get these entitlements. They're entitled to things. And once they get into this entitlement mentality, they will never leave that entitlement mentality. The most recent great example of this was the Build Back Better bill, the whole hokey folky thing that was called a budget, I guess, or what'd they call it? Infrastructure bill. It had nothing to do with infrastructure. Had all these programs on there that were only going to last for 2 years or 1 year or 3 years or whatever. It was only going to be, it was paid for this X amount of number of years. And then it was going to go away. And they know better than that. They know that doesn't happen. Programs do not just go away. They get a government program in there. They get a foothold. They get it in there, and then what they do is they say, well, we can't take away these people's benefits. These people depend on this. These people will, their lives will fall apart if they don't have these benefits. This has happened over and over for many, 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 many years in this country. I take you back to the introduction of the income tax, which we didn't always have, by the way, and somehow the country functioned without it. Federal income tax. The federal income tax was introduced, and it was said that it would only be for a very short time. And it was only going to be for a tenth of a percent, or whatever it was. It was some ridiculous amount. It wasn't even a full percentage point. And it's only going to be for a short time. Well, then we need it for a little bit longer. It was only to pay for the war effort. It was only to pay for this. It was only to pay for that. And then it's only going to be for these people, for certain people, not everybody. Only for people who manufacture, distribute, or work in the market of alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. That's actually the only place initially that income tax was applied to. If you were involved in the sale, distribution, or manufacturing of alcohol, tobacco, or firearms, you were taxed. And there were some book taxes as well from the federal level. And then it just kind of went from there. All of a sudden, everybody's income had something to do with alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And it still falls underneath that code. Now, if you don't believe me, start delving into it. Trace it back. Go down to your federal IRS agent. Go down to the office and say, let's find out where this really comes from. Trace it back. If they're willing to take, just say, can you take 30 minutes to show me exactly where this comes from and why it applies to me? And you'll go back through this whole thing and you'll find out that it doesn't. But if you don't pay it, they're going to haul you off to jail. You can tell them, I fully plan on paying my income tax. Don't worry, sir or ma'am or whatever you are. Whatever your pronouns are, whatever. But let's just go over it together, just so we both understand that this is a scam. We're all being scammed. And I understand that. You understand that. Sir, I'll pay for it, because if I don't go along with the scam, I go to jail. I get that. Yeah. This kind of stuff has been going on for years. The income tax started off as nothing, and it just incrementally grew. And of course, now there's this tiered system where the more you make, the more you have, more the higher percentage you have to pay. And yet they still say, well, the rich aren't paying their fair share. The problem is who we call rich. You see, there's these individuals out there, rich people, in my opinion, the definition, the breakpoint of rich, in my opinion, this is just, at least relative to this country, even the poorest people among us in this country are pretty much some of the richest people in the world when you look at the average income in the world. We are a very rich nation, by the way, where even our poorest people are well cared for compared to some places in the world. But we have this rich breakpoint. I'm trying to do a graphic with my hands because I don't have a computer graphic thing to show you. Because I really didn't get that far. I'm not going to start putting money and time into doing graphics and getting videos to play for you until I get this thing working right. In the meantime, we're just going to have me watch me do, you know, make faces and stuff, I guess. I don't know, like hand puppet stuff. Okay, so the rich are those who don't actually have to, quote, work and have to have an income, so to speak. Warren Buffett probably does not actually get a weekly check. Now, people like that, Bill Gates probably does not get a check in the mail every week or a check from his employer every week. They have investments and they live on these foundation issues and they have their you know, they do their thing and they pay their bills, whatever. But their income is not derived from that. It's all derived from investment income. And the way investment income is taxed is different than some other things, and that's just the way that goes. And that's why Warren Buffett was famously said, I think back in 2015 or 2016, whenever it was he said it. He said, my secretary pays more in income tax than I do. Trying to say that, you know, he's trying to relate to the little guy saying, you know, it's not fair. I don't pay hardly any income tax. Well, it's because you don't take a check. You pay her a check and she has withdrawals. She has withdrawals. She has federal income tax withdrawn from her check. But he doesn't do that. He has investments and dividends and whatever else it is he's getting from his investments. And so it's just a very different kind of world. That, in my opinion, is the rich right there. Now, whether you want to call them the 1%, whatever you want to call them, you'd be surprised at how small a percentage of people actually make more than the average income in the country. However, it's not the people, like, let's say I most people would think of someone who makes $250,000 a year. You would think they're rich. That's a rich person. That person's making way too much money. Now, nowadays, $250,000 a year is not necessarily all that much. I mean, you're doing well, but if you have a family with kids or anything you're doing, you can probably be putting money away for savings. That's kind of, in my opinion, that's kind of the average. You need to be making that kind of money in order to make it through life. If you've got a house and two kids. Now, depending on where you're living, if you're living in New York or you're living in California, most places, at least in those, not everywhere in those states, but if you're living in, you know, anywhere near the big cities, $250,000 a year is not enough. You're really not going to be building any wealth. You can live on that. Don't get me wrong. But you're not going to be able to build any wealth from that. Now, where I am in northern Indiana, housing prices, housing costs, cost of living here, very low. $250,000 a year is, you can very, very comfortably live on that. You can be socking money away. You can be doing things, having nice vacations, doing the whole thing, buying a nice house. You can save up money for a few years and buy a house with cash, a nice house with cash. In just a few years. Now, for some reason, we want to tax those people. And it's the people who are actually getting a paycheck who are getting taken in this whole process. Because they're the ones who are paying 50 or 60% to income taxes in some states, if you consider and count federal income tax as well as state income tax and county income tax and city income tax and all the other taxes that you get taxed with all their tax and your FICA and everything else. You might make $400,000 a year and you only see $200,000 a year. Only see $200,000. It seems like I'm just making, that's a petty thing. I realize, believe me. I've had some salad days in my life. I've had days where I hardly made any money at all. In fact, I made less money than I spent just to live. And I didn't have the money to spend to begin with. I know what this is like. And it didn't just go on for a few months. I know the struggle that some people have. I understand it. I'm almost blown away and flabbergasted, if that's a word. Is that a word? Flabbergasted? At where I am today. The kind of money, the earning potential I have on my own, with my own business, let alone the employer that I have on the side. It absolutely blows me away that I have, after all these years, stumbled into something that actually makes decent money, and nobody can really take it away from me, really. I mean, anything's temporary, but it's not a job that can just be pulled out from under me very quickly unless there's some kind of a tragedy or some kind of weird event. But for the most part, it's not just going to go away overnight. Probably. It could. I could wake up and not be able to speak, is what I'm saying. If I, for some reason, lost my voice. Because it's all based on my voice. But I'm not dependent on a supplier. I'm only dependent on having customers and clients who pay me fairly well for doing what I do. Amazingly well, actually, and it's shocking sometimes when I'm typing up a bill and sending it to them. I'm saying, "You're going to pay me this much for that?" I mean, it's more than just doing what I do. It's the actual use of my talents and my art that they're paying for, and I get that. It's just shocking and surprising to me sometimes. And sometimes I get residual payments. I'll get a call from a client that I did some work for 8 months ago. Hey, we want to run your product, your service here. We want to run this, what you did for us last year. We want to run that again for another year. How much is that going to cost? Okay, let's just say this much. Okay, we'll send you a check. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything more. I just answered a phone call. And they're paying me more for doing nothing more. But it's the use of what I did that had some value to them. It just blows my mind. I had a manufacturing business where I was dependent on a supplier and a lot of different suppliers. And then I got all this stuff and I had to put it together and sell it and it had to work. And when it didn't, I was the one responsible in the middle of all that. Even though my supplier didn't give me what I needed, wasn't giving me the product that I needed to make it work. I was the one who had to replace all that stuff. It was expensive. It was a lot of overhead. I had another business before that that we had a decent income every year. I had to own a lot of overhead, a lot of equipment to make it work, to provide a service. I wasn't selling anything. I was selling a service. Providing service, but there was a lot of overhead, And I had to deal with the city for the property that I was using. I had to deal with government regulation agencies. I had to deal with a lot of mechanical issues with all the equipment that I had to have. And then I had to have marketing, and on top of that, all the marketing and, you know, customer relations and customer satisfaction stuff. And then I had employees, and I had to have an employee just to run the employee stuff. A lot of overhead, a lot of money coming through. Didn't make a dime. Ended up making less than a lot of money. You know, actually lost money for a couple of years on that deal. So I've had those kinds of experiences. I also owned a service business that didn't require a lot of overhead, but it required an awful lot of elbow work. Elbow grease, they call it. And as you can see, my elbows have no grease left. There's no more grease on my elbows. It's gone. I've worn it out. So it was kind of a sweat equity thing. But of course, I chose a business that didn't really have a whole lot of demand. It was the price, you know, I probably could have charged more. And that's probably my biggest regret in most of my businesses, that I could have probably charged more. Worked less and made just as much money. Now, should you cut your prices in half so that you can work three times harder and make 10% more? Or are you better off just charging more, working less? I'm a proponent of the latter now that I've gotten older. And the reason is because here's the deal. If you're out there working your tail off to make 10% more, if I'm working twice as hard to make 10% more because I have to reduce my prices to get that extra work, I'd be better off charging more, working half as much, and spending that other half as much time getting new clients. Because now I'm actually going to make more money. If I can work on getting more clients or more customers with that spare time I've got because I'm not getting as much business, but with the business that I am getting, I'm actually making money on. Now suddenly there's a principle there that I didn't learn in college. Let's just put it that way, folks. I was involved in aviation for a while. It always cracks me up. It's story time, by the way. So sit back and relax. Enjoy your little cup of chai tea. I was involved in aviation for a while. I had a hard time back in the day when there was starting to become a pilot shortage back in the early 2000s, late 1900s. Sounds like it was a long time ago, didn't it? And well, the cat has now come in to say hello. And I see that the cat has not brought the little mouse that he was playing with earlier. He is seeming quite relaxed, though. I think he's done playing with the mouse. I hear these stories now of people in the industry making stupid mistakes, and I'll hear them on the radio occasionally. When I was involved in aviation and I was flying around in O'Hare all the time, I was flying for a regional airline because the majors, they wouldn't hire me because I didn't have a college education. I didn't have a college degree. They wouldn't hire me. But I was good enough to fly with the rejects from the regionals. We always like to think of ourselves as the misfits, the rejects, which they're hiring out of the regionals now like crazy. You can't hardly see anybody working for a regional for more than about a year anymore before they get a job offer from a major. And interestingly enough, I'm hearing all these people on the majors making stupid mistakes, taxiing around Chicago. Of course, they get chewed out. It wasn't just Chicago. It was everywhere. Now, granted, regionals make mistakes too. Not saying that they don't. And in 20 years of aviation, never having an accident or an incident, never filed an insurance claim, other than one time I had storm damage on an airplane. That was kind of out of my control. And as an instructor, I had 83 students signed off for various tests that they went through. I myself personally never failed a check ride or a written test. I never had a student that failed a written test or a... I take that back. I don't know about the written test. I didn't keep track of that, but I they may not. They may have. But I never had a student fail a check ride that I signed off for. Now, and I never had an incident or an accident myself in all those years. However, none of the major airlines, American, United, Delta, wouldn't even interview me because I didn't have a college degree. But I hear these individuals on the radio making stupid mistakes. And then blaming the controller, not even owning it. You know, it's one thing, in my opinion, if you do make a mistake, it's one thing to at least have the humility to say, oh, yep, I screwed up. Yep, should have turned left there, didn't turn left there, kept on going, or I should have held short of that taxiway, whatever. And they don't do that. They just blame somebody else. Or when the controller gets upset with them and says something about it, they have the audacity to say that they were unprofessional. I was taxiing along in Chicago one day. This is my story time thing. Taxiing along in Chicago. It's at night. United Airlines was coming out of something called the Southport, which is kind of an area where there's like an area that goes between a bunch of gates. And they come out on the south side or they go out on the north side. There's a north port and there's a south port. They're coming out of the south port. I'm taxiing along on Alpha. And I won't mention any airlines' names. It just rhymes with United. Let's just say that. And I'm taxiing along. And they are coming out of the south port and they're supposed to hold short. Everybody heard they were supposed to hold short. And you turn your nose light on when you have a right of way. You're supposed to turn your nose light off when you're giving way to another airplane on the taxiway. They had their light on, and they were rolling up to the Southport hold short area, and they just kept rolling. And I was taxiing along, and of course they don't taxi slow in Chicago. Not supposed to, or at least we don't. The regionals don't. Some of the majors do because they're so important because the world revolves around them. So they're taxiing along. We're taxiing along, and next thing I know, United's not stopping. And I start kind of getting my toes on the brakes, and the next thing I know, they just keep rolling right on out. If I had not stopped, their wing would have hit us. I ease into the stop without trying to put, you know, plaster everybody's face on the back of the seat. I ease into a stop, and I stop, turn my light off. Let him go. Controller gets on and says, appreciate you stopping there for United since they didn't obey what they were supposed to do. They didn't follow instructions very well and didn't do their thing. And of course, a couple other people chimed in and kind of picked on a little bit. Well, then about 2 minutes later, after they're gone, they're taxiing over and then we're taxiing over. Now they have to try to rearrange us so that we get in front of them because the sequence was that we were supposed to be in front of them for this takeoff. So then the next control, you know, the ground controller then is trying to work with us. Well, then United has the audacity to come out and say, you know, I think it was very unprofessional the way you talked to us there on the radio and the way you said what you did. And this it wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the controller. And in true Chicago fashion, the controller comes back and says, yes, I'm sorry. It was very unprofessional for me to chew you out for almost running over another airplane. This is what I love about Chicago O'Hare. These guys are awesome. They are some of the best controllers on the planet. I kid you not. They are top-notch, some of the best controllers ever. And that is the reason. Because they were busy as all get out, giving instructions to everybody, one thing after another, one airplane after another, and had the time to throw a zinger like that in there. They would do that all the time, all day long. they make comments like that that kind of put them in their place. You want to talk about being professional, and here you are, the one that just about ran over somebody else. But I'm not good enough to work for them because I don't have a college degree. Just saying. Not that I'm jealous. Not that I'm bitter. Anyway, it's getting to be a little bit more ridiculous now. I think they're, my understanding is, I guess Delta has now dropped their requirement for college education because there is such a pilot shortage now. It has gotten ridiculous. Of course, by the time I retire, they have, there's a mandatory 65 retirement age, and I doubt that I will ever get hired by a major. I don't really necessarily want to go to major now, and I'm happy with where I am. I like doing what I do. And I don't know that I would ever, you know, well, maybe if they paid me enough, I guess I'd go back for a couple of years, check off that box, fly something big. Okay. So anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? So let's see what we've got going on here. The narrative has changed somewhat. And, I'm going to put on my glasses this morning because I forgot to put my contacts in and I can't see a thing. So I have no idea how long we've been even transmitting here. For this little live broadcast, the looks like we've been going for about I don't know how many minutes. It doesn't say. Where's my timer on this thing? I see no timer. All I see is there's 36 minutes. Okay, it does have a timer on it. Oh, we got plenty of time. So we have recently. I wonder why this says I'm streaming, but that page doesn't say I'm streaming, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. Maybe it is. I don't know. Let's hope it's streaming. If it's not, let me know. Give me a thumbs up if it's streaming. Why don't you send me some money if it's streaming? Why don't you just send me some money? Yeah, just that way I know it's streaming. Just send me about $1 million. That'd be great. If each of you send me $1 million, I can end this program and be done for the rest of my life. All three of you. If even just one of you, send me $1 million. I'll probably stop this program for the rest of my life. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll just keep it going just to punish people. So I have I heard this interview with Kamala recently. And this interviewer was saying, we've heard rumor that there's a consideration for Biden to run. He hasn't even been in office for a year, folks. He was inaugurated like a year ago. And we're already talking about whether or not he's going to make it another three. Are you kidding me? Let alone go on another four? Joe Biden is not going to run in 2024. I don't know why they're even... Who's getting paid to take polls? Who's getting paid some of these high-dollar, highfalutin, supposedly professional pundits on national broadcasting are actually discussing this with any kind of seriousness at all? What is wrong with these people? Are you seriously talking about Joe Biden running, whether or not he's going to run again in 2024? Really? What is wrong with you? Okay, I've got to settle down. It's not going to happen. Joe Biden is not running in 2024. They ask him these questions. They asked him whether or not he's running in 2024. Well, yeah, if my health is as good as it is now, sure, I'm going to... Wait, where am I? Where's my ice cream? What was I doing here? What's my name? Oh, yeah, I used to drive a four-wheeler. An 18-wheeler. I used to drive a blimp. Back when I got arrested for driving an 18-wheeler, drove it over top of a blimp. Yeah. Joe, yeah, none of those things are true. Yeah, he doesn't care. He just keeps telling the stories. So, strangely enough, they confronted her about this idea of a Biden-Cheney ticket. Now, if you've heard Carmella at all, speaking at all recently, in any way, shape, or form. Doing anything, saying anything. You'll realize this woman is completely over her skis. She has no idea what she's doing. When she starts to repeat herself, she'll make a statement and she'll repeat it about four or five times. And when she does this, you know that she's hunting for something else in her brain to say. That's what happens when people start to repeat themselves. What they're doing is they don't want you to speak over them. They don't want someone else to get a chance to get a word in or to ask them a question about what they just said. They just keep repeating this themselves and putting a bunch of fill words in. This is a nervous tick that Circleback Psaki has when she says all the time, and or she starts talking about, well, we'll get back with you on that, or whatever, or makes little quip comments about somebody. Well, it's so nice to see you back, Mr. Ducci. It's so nice to see you back, Mr. Ducci. I'm so glad you made it back. No, you're not. You're not glad. So you get these people saying things all the time. And it's one thing when they were peeing on my leg and telling me it was raining. That was one thing. Now they're peeing in my face and telling me I'm on a cruise. And I think it's getting to the point where people are pretty upset. People are actually starting to catch on. They're starting to do the math. They're like, okay, you're blaming the unvaxxed for this spike in COVID. We have people over the age of 60. There's over 80% of the population over 60 is now fully vaxxed, like two shots, and I think that even includes the boosters. And now you've got Germany coming out with, in fact, there's more than one paper now. I think there's three or four papers now that have been written about the caution and the concern for these multiple boosters and how this, now, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a life coach. In a world where a one man with a microphone is just talking with his opinions, what you do with those opinions are your business. Just saying. See, I have this light set up so that you can't see my eyes. Now you can. Now you can't. Those for you on the radio, those of you who are just listening, you can't see my eyes either. But you still listen. So I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. So this report now is that there is a problem with all these boosters. Now, Dr. Malone warned everybody about this, saying these vaccines are not linear. You can't just keep giving vaccines and you just keep building your immunity. And obviously that didn't happen with Omicron now, did it? And yet they will say, yes, this Omicron is sweeping the nation. We have 750,000 new cases just yesterday. Make sure you're boosted. If the vaccines were working the way we had anticipated them at the beginning, this is where the problem is. We were sold a bill of goods, and we still keep thinking that, well, maybe it's still going to work. Now, did the vaccines keep people from going to the hospital or getting severe symptoms with Delta? Most likely, probably so. I will concede that. If you had the vaccine, you probably survived Delta. There's probably some people out there who survived Delta that wouldn't have. Let's just put it that way. Now, Omicron is a different bug. I would say it's barely even in the same camp as the original COVID was. Certainly not in the same camp that Delta was. People who have been fully vaccinated with two shots and been boosted, which just means it's the same vaccination, it's just three shots. They don't have some, this is a booster, and this is They're not going to hold up a vial and say, well, this is the booster. No, you can't get that one first. You got to get one of these two first. This is number one. This is number two. And then this is the booster. It's different. They're all the same. If you get the Pfizer 1, 2, and 3, it's all the Pfizer 1, 2, and 3, and then the 4 is the same. And now they're saying, well, we can customize the booster for Omicron. Well, that'd be great. Sort of like you customized it for the first one. And how would that work? Yeah, they're fully inoculated. You're not going to get it. We were told that you would not get COVID if you got the vaccinations. I played the audio many times on here to show that. On my shows. And yet, it spreads like wildfire. And yet we have the worst outbreak since this whole thing began, with a higher percentage of the population vaccinated than ever before. And studies that show that if you have been vaccinated with the first and second shot and you've had the booster, you are three times more likely to get Omicron and someone who's not been vaccinated. Oh, but your symptoms will be less. No, I'm not buying that either. Because as it is right now, even with the spike that we've had, hospitalizations have barely increased at all. I mean, we're talking hardly at all. Not even, it's like negligible. Most states are experiencing maybe 20 or 30 people more than they had a few weeks ago since this big outbreak, and we have well more than double the number of people who have Omicron now. Delta is still out there, don't get me wrong. There are people still getting Delta. But Omicron is sweeping through the population. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I mean, it's bad. Anybody gets sick, it's bad. But I don't think that Omicron, personally, I think that Omicron is the beginning of the end of this thing. And I think that people should be, you know, okay about getting it at this point. If you can get through it and survive it and everything's fine, you now have, there's more immunity built up. Now, the question, and this has been a nagging point for me, especially after this Germany. The one German paper that was written on this is actually quite disturbing. And it kind of goes along with a few things that a few people have talked about, some reputable doctors have said. They've talked about how the vaccine may actually prevent you from developing natural immunity to the extent that you can get it, that you would if you just didn't have the vaccine. In other words, it's blocking your body's ability to develop what is called B and T cell memory. And I don't know what I'm talking about. I could be way wrong on this stuff. It's just what I keep hearing from all the doctors I keep listening to. You can actually be tested and not have any T cell antibodies or any antibodies at all. But your body has the ability to reproduce antibodies further down the line. In other words, a year from now, you could develop. You know, you could catch the virus or get the virus and your body will fight it off because it's got the memory of how to, amazingly enough, it can fight those things off because it can develop the T cells and B cells that you need, called B cell memory. That's the way I understand it anyway. I don't know, I'm way off on that. Again, I defer back to my disclaimer. And I have no college education. So there you go. So this is what one of the issues of the rhetoric that we keep hearing. Now, why is the narrative falling apart? This is the whole question of, you know, now that I'm 50 minutes into this show, I'm going to talk about the actual reason for the show. All of a sudden, we're being told that cloth masks don't really do anything. You need N95s, or, you know, at the very least, the little surgical masks. Those absolutely don't do anything either, by the way, not with a virus. Sorry, they don't. They're healthier. They're better for you as a wearer. The cloth masks actually will, a cotton mask will develop bacteria very quickly. And it's, you have to keep them clean. You got to wash them, which is nice because you can wash them, but you got to wash them. And nobody does. That's the problem. The problem is that you can't. The problem is that you don't. You stuff it in your pocket, you pull it back out when you need to do it, you know, whatever. Recently I had some relatives come from a big city. And as soon as they got kind of into Indiana here, they went to a store. Of course, they do everything they can. They're taking their temperatures. They're taking their tests. They're doing everything. They're paranoid and scared to death about this thing. They're constantly taking their temperatures. You know, that doesn't prevent you from getting it, by the way. It just lets you know whether or not you got it. Now, they cross the line, the state line. They go into a Walmart or wherever it was they went to get something. Nobody's wearing a mask. Hardly anybody's wearing a mask. And they're kind of like, oh, these people are, well, oh my goodness. I got news for you. In all the areas where everybody's wearing a mask all the time, it's still spreading. And we, for some reason, think that this magic mask is going to protect us. Oh, I'm wearing a mask, so I'm okay. Well, all these famous people out there, all these politicians, they're all getting it. AOC got it. Of course, she wasn't wearing a mask down in Florida. That's why she got it, apparently. They're all people who supposedly are telling us what to do, and yet they get it. Well, there's those breakthrough cases. See, we were initially told that these were just breakthrough cases. But these were so rare. If you're vaccinated, they're highly safe. Highly, highly. They work really, really good against the variants. Really, really good. That's what we were told. I've played the audio of Fauci saying that and people saying that. Oh, you get the booster. Oh, it's just really, that's really going to help you. And then we have the biggest outbreak of ever. Well, now they're starting to change that tune. Why? The question is, why are they changing that tune? I would contend one of the biggest reasons is because the Democrats are running scared right now. They know that right now, COVID is on the minds of everybody out there. They're not liking what they're seeing. They're not liking the way this thing has been handled. They know that it's gotten ridiculous. Joe Biden promised to crush the virus, to shut down the virus, not shut down the country, but shut down the virus. And he continues to blame the unvaccinated. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And yet everybody who's vaccinated is getting this thing. United, by the way, United Airlines, 100% of their flight crews, 100% of their employees, from what I understand, are vaccinated. 3,000 people out sick because they have Omicron. How's that vaccine working for you? Well, we don't have any deaths. We don't have any deaths now, so that just shows it's working. Well, it's not working the way you thought it would, is it? Because obviously it's spreading like wildfire throughout your employee population. We were told that it would help prevent us from spreading it. Well, it doesn't do that either, does it? When all of a sudden all the breakthrough stuff started happening, we started realizing these breakthroughs aren't that rare. It's like just as common for people. And yes, finally, Fauci came out and admitted someone who has the virus, who's been vaccinated, has just as much viral load in their nasal pharynx or whatever they call it, pharynx or whatever word it's called up here in your nasal thing, as someone who's not vaccinated. So we finally find out. Now they're saying, well, even Pfizer, the Pfizer guy, now that's what his little announcement when he came out and made this announcement has been scrubbed from the internet now, but they've actually came out and redacted it, changed it. He basically said, if you've had one dose or two dose, that's not going to help you at all, but the booster is going to help you. You got to get your booster. The first two doses aren't going to do anything for you, but the booster is going to help against Omicron. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't do anything more. And in fact, now they are concerned, and I'm highly concerned about Israel. Israel now is on their fourth booster, their fourth shot. And we will see that the concern is that the body's ability to fight off other diseases, not just Omicron or not just COVID, Omicron and the unicorn, whatever it's going to be, the body's ability to fight off cancer, the body's ability to fight off other diseases. Pneumonia, in fact, is up like crazy. Cases of pneumonia not related to COVID are up like 60% in the country. Why? And I'm talking about 18 to 49-year-olds. And now kids are getting Omicron more than anybody else was. Why? We're vaccinating kids. And now they're saying, well, send your kids to school anyway, regardless of whether they're sick or not. Even though we're having an outbreak, we got to keep the kids going to school. All of a sudden, they're realizing that this is not a winning issue in 2024, and they are scared to death. They really, 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 really thought the vaccines were going to be really, really good against the variants and really, really good and safe and effective. Well, now they're finding out that they're not so safe and effective. Now, I guarantee you, if in 2 years from now we find out that people who've been vaccinated, especially people who've had multiple shots beyond the first two, are starting to have immune issues or whatever it is that starts happening, heart issues, whatever it is, if they can trace it back to this vaccine, they're going to blame Trump. Well, this was Trump's vaccine. This was Trump's vaccine. Yeah, Trump was in a lab down in his basement, you know, working on dreams while he was drinking his bleach, you know, because he said that, you know, because, yeah, obviously he actually said that. They don't have any video or audio evidence of him actually ever saying that. They made all that up. But that's what they think. He was down in the lab down there in the White House, and he was drinking bleach, and he was putting together this vaccine, and then he put it out there. Fauci had nothing to do with it. Fauci's a good guy. Fauci's the hero. I see people with Fauci t-shirts on. This guy should be in prison. He should be in jail, rotting in prison, eating bread and water. And not fresh bread either. I got some upstairs that would be perfect for him. A little extra penicillin growing on it. The guy's a crook. And Rand Paul is calling him out, and now he's blaming Rand Paul for, well, they're coming after me. Their people are trying to kill me now because of what you're saying about me.
Oh, what you're saying about it?
If I want to do an impersonation, I probably should actually impersonate the guy.
And, you know, now there's people coming after me trying to kill me now because of everything that you said, all the lies that you're telling everybody about me because, you know, they think I'm killing people and stuff.
Yeah, because you have the lives. Rand Paul came right out and said it. You have the lives of 400,000 people on your hands. You've mishandled this thing. You're the one who's been in charge of this whole thing. Here's the question. You go in and get a test, and you're positive. They send you home. What do they tell you? Yes, don't take Tylenol. Take Tylenol. Take cold medicine. Don't take cold medicine. Alka-Seltzer plus cold medicine. Whatever it is going to take. Whatever it takes. Something to get over these symptoms. Something to get you through it. No, nothing. Drink plenty of fluids, get plenty of rest. Nothing. No instructions. Now, I don't know what it's like in your area, what you've experienced. I'm hearing reports from everybody else who gets tested. They get sent home. They say, a doctor will call you. Nobody calls. And now instead of being 10 days in quarantine, it's 5 days. Well, because we got to get people back to work. We can't have everybody out for 10 days. Science. That's Mr. Science talking to you. Because Mr. Fauci, he's the science.
If you're coming against me, you're coming against the science. I'm the science. Because I'm the embodiment. I'm a science incarnated. I'm an incarnation of science. Everything about me.
Everything you need to know about Dr. Fauci. And I use the word doctor very loosely. Everything you need to know about Fauci can be summed up in the way he talked about somebody under his breath who happened to get caught on a microphone. A senator or a congressman, somebody in Congress, was asking him a question when he was called before Congress. Was asking him questions that were actually pertinent and valid. Good questions. And Fauci, when he gets done with this exchange and he's kind of getting ready to go, he says, what a moron. And then he uses the name as a cuss word that I'm not going to repeat. That's all you need to know about this guy, right there. I have never once done that in my entire life. Not that I'm any better than him. I'm just saying that tells me something about him, right there. This guy is nothing but an egomaniac, has nothing but his own interests in mind. Loves to be fawned over and fawned around as if he's in charge of the country now, and he's going to decide whether or not, well, we can't really, you know, I don't know that we can mandate this or mandate that. Like as if it's his, you know, if I was in his position, I would just say, that's not for me to decide. That's for Congress to decide. I don't know. I'm just giving you the scientific information based on the medical data. It's for them to make those decisions. He's making those decisions, and he loves being in that position of power. And unfortunately, Trump was put into a position where he probably did not see this coming and ended up deferring, abdicating his responsibilities over to Fauci, thinking that's what he had to do. And they got him. Now, for those of you out there who, you know, don't like Trump, but you like this vaccine, guess what? Trump is pro-vaccine. He's telling people to get the vaccine. I differ with him on that one. It's fine. If he wants to tell people that, it's fine. I'm not necessarily pro-vaccine. I am not necessarily against the vaccine. Just because the mandate now has won. I'm sure I should say the mandate has lost. We won against this mandate thing. Now, whether or not you get the vaccine, I've also said this, and I realize I'm running over time now. If you get the vaccine, but you don't agree with the mandate, then put your money where your mouth is. Do a little bit of, make it real. And say something like, I'm not going to disclose my vaccination status to my employer. I'm vaccinated because I agree with the vaccine. I just don't agree with the mandate. Well, the mandate is complying with giving your employer your vaccinated status. Well, then if you don't agree with the mandate, then don't comply with it. You can get the vaccine. Just don't tell them. Well, I'll lose my job. Why bother? Well, if I'm going to lose my job, but I'm already vaccinated, why not just tell them? Because it's called a principle, and you stand on your principles. And guess what? If you're not going to do that, then shut up about being against the mandate, because you're not. You went along with it. So just stop with your self-righteous sanctimonium if you're not willing to put your money where your mouth is. Because you really aren't against the mandate. Oh, I'm against the mandate. Well, then what are you going to do about it? You're going to give your employer your vaccination status, which is complying with the mandate, but you're against the mandate. But you're pro-vax, which is fine. You got your vaccine, but now you've told your employer that what your vaccination status is, which is that's where you've complied. And now, of course, you wouldn't have had to unless you're in certain industries. Now there's a bunch of people out there who've got the vaccine, and now they're going, I kind of wonder whether or not I should have gotten this now. I got it because I thought I had to. Well, the company paid me $100 to get the vaccine. So I got it. I got an extra $100 in my pocket. I disagree with the mandate. So you're going to wait till 2024 to vote? And how is that going to change your vote? And what is that going to change between now and then? The only vote you have against this mandate is to not comply, whether you have the vaccine or not. You see, there's a difference between those two things. And for those of you out there who don't think that government has taken over the means of production, because that's what communism is, when they take control of the means of production, and they start telling us who and when and what can operate, who can operate, what can operate, who can shut down, who can be, what businesses are essential and what businesses are not essential and you have to shut down or not shut down. I think we've now know who's got control of the means of production. When they have that kind of power, that's where we are, folks. That's all I'm going to say about that. I could keep talking, but I won't, because I hear the background. I hear music. It's the bumper music, and it's pushing me out. It's bumping me right out of here. Folks, I appreciate you listening to the show. I appreciate you watching the show. And if this keeps working like this, which I don't know how it's going to work on the road, because this is in my studio and it works great. I don't know how it's going to necessarily work on the road. We'll have to see about that. Maybe it'll work better. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll just have to see. There will be a show this afternoon. I don't know if it's going to be live on the tube here. I don't know if it's going to be on the Rumble. But it will be recorded. So at least you'll have a recording of the show this afternoon. And that's about all I got to say about that, because we're pressing almost noon now by the time this thing gets published, and it could be a while. So we're going to do that. Appreciate you listening, everybody. God bless. Keep praying for our nation. Pray for each other. Take care, folks.